Bill Rice. I'm a ex-F4G Wild Weasel driver. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for this wonderful presentation. I have two questions. What was the Mark 13 torpedo compared to the torpedoes carried on the submarines? And also, what was the attack profile like as far as distance from the ship, altitude, and airspeed? Thank you.
I really don't know. I'd have to make a guess on that. The submarine torpedo would be a heck of a lot bigger, longer. We've carried the Mark 13, which was a disaster anyway. But
why is that?
It wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't run true, or it ran too deep most of the time.
Oh, wow. Sir, what was the second part of your question? I'm sorry. The attack profile, Jack, for the pilots. What's the attack profile to prepare and then to launch a torpedo? Oh. Altitude, etc.
Well, we drop down. First of all, you'd be in formation. Then it's, as you're coming up to the target, each of the aircraft would take one point of the compass. So that this is the beginning. Those were the beginning tactics, so that you came in from around the clock. Later on, they discovered that the torpedo planes were more effective coming in all from one side. But if I can remember right, we were around 200 feet, 180 knots.
Right.
And then after you dropped your torpedo, then you jinked out of there. However you wanted to, you just got out of there.
Right.
And then formed up with your squadron.
Great. Any other questions? Questions? Yes.
Was there a fourth man who operated the ventral gun, the one below the plane?
Brad or Jane?
The ventral gun, by the time this airplane was built, was eliminated. But when they did have one, it was operated by the radio man, bombardier navigator. So there was not an extra person to run it.
Yeah, Don, yeah, tell us about the ventral gun.
Well, it was a 30 caliber tail gun. And you didn't have much clearance there to see anything. And if you shot at something, you didn't know whether you hit it or not. I think it's just to try to scare somebody. Only it scared me instead of them.
So now what we'd like to do, Sam is back on duty, to talk with Brad and Jane about their airplane, and also the owner of the airplane on your left, which is owned by Charlie Cartledge. So, Sam, you're up, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being part of this wonderful program, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Thank you, David. Hello. Thank you, David. Charlie, why don't we go over here, and we'll start with your airplane first, and we'll talk a little bit about it. Tell us a little bit about the specifications and the engine, prop, what have you, anything that you can tell us on it.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, the aircraft has a Curtiss-Wright R2600 radial engine. It's two rows of seven cylinders, 14 cylinders total. It's 2,600 cubic inch, and at 1,900 horsepower. The wingspan is 54 feet, and of course the wings fold up for carrier storage.
Now, I've been told that this is the first carrier airplane that had folding wings. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. First carrier airplane with folding wings. They designed the aircraft in 41. It first flew in early of 42.
All right, now you're also the unique design of this airplane. Of course, it's a bombing platform, a torpedo platform. And we've already talked about it. It's got a crew of three on it. How did you come to get this particular airplane?
Well, mine, it was built in July of 45, so it didn't see any actual combat. By the time it was sent to the West Coast, the war was over. So it was in based in San Diego and Seattle for brief times. And then it was surplus from the military in 1956. It was purchased by ag operators, and they converted it to a sprayer. Took the turret out, the bomb bay doors off, and put a tank in the back. They used it for a few years as a tanker sprayer, and then apparently they used it for spare parts. We also do know that they used it for a wind machine for a short time, but then it was cannibalized for parts, and when it was sold at auction, it was just a shell of a fuselage.
So now when you purchased this, you figured what be 1 year and you'd have it flying?
yeah, 1 or 2 years, a couple good weekends, whatever,
yeah,
going.
Yeah, just so, work on the weekend.
So
yeah.
14 years later, we actually flew it.
So it and what, 2012, is that what you said?
2013, when we flew it for the first time.
Okay, what's the paint scheme on this particular airplane?
This is painted to represent a friend of ours. He was a turret gunner during World War II. He was in VT-20, was based on the Enterprise during late 44. So it's in his markings.
Okay, now you've been flying this thing for a few years. What does it mean to you personally to fly this thing to the different air shows so the veterans could get a chance to see this airplane? Some of them probably hadn't seen it since 1945.
Yeah, kind of like Brad. We started out as just a big toy, but it means a lot more than that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm kind of like Brad, or Jane, I need my Kleenexes, but we do this for the veterans. A lot of people are amazed how big the aircraft is, how it was even possible to fly it off a carrier. It's just amazing to see what these guys did back then with what they had to work with. But this is really a tribute to all the veterans. So we thank them.
And they're all heroes.
They are. And, yeah. And like Jane, most of them are thanking us. And I have no idea why they're thanking us.
And they all say, I'm not a hero.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Brad, let's talk to you and Jane about your airplane here. How about the armament on the airplane?
Well, it had 350 caliber guns. It had one in each wing and one in the ball turret. It was capable of 2,000 pounds of droppable ordnance in any configuration that you wanted to carry them, whether it was one torpedo or several 100-pounders, 250-pounders, whatever the mission demanded.
Was it used much as a bomber, or is it mostly just a torpedo airplane?
No, much more as a bomber than a torpedo airplane. The torpedoes, as Jack said, were less than successful, and so they had great luck with them as bombers.
And the whole war, they didn't improve the torpedoes at all?
Oh, they improved them, absolutely, but the missions just turned out that the plane was more utilized as a bomber.
Well, how reliable is the engine on the airplane?
How reliable is the what?
The engine, the Wright engine.
Oh, the Wright engine.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty reliable. It's a 1,900 horse. I would call it reliable by those standards.
How about the range on it? What's the range?
The books.
Oh, so how long can you fly?
Okay. the airplane will fly longer than you want to fly.
I know that because, but for 18-year-olds, they probably didn't make any difference.
Yeah, they were fine with it. The books say the range was 1,000 miles. They had to slow it down quite a bit to get that kind of range out of it. How we use it, it's a 500-600 mile range.
Okay, how about the paint job on your particular airplane?
The dark blue was how most of them were painted late in the war.
Right.
And the markings that are on ours are from the carrier that it flew off of.
Okay, what's the significance on the nose art on your airplane?
The nose art that's on ours is the squadron insignia that it flew.
All right. Now, well, what squadron is that?
Well, the VMTB 234 was V was designating heavier than air, Marine torpedo bomber, or the MTB, and then the number was 234.
So, that particular squadron was in the Pacific. Is that correct? Now I see that you've got the bombs up here, and then you got a sunken ship. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the bombs and the sunken ship are based on information the best we can put together on how many missions that it had, and there is evidence that it was involved in sinking a destroyer.
All right, I'll ask you the same question. What does it mean to you to bring this airplane to these people?
Just like Charlie, you know, it's because of what these guys did with them in the war that allows guys like me and Charlie to play with them today. And showing our thanks, continuing the education to people, that's what it has become all about for us.
Well, about how many of these were built?
Just under 10,000.
And that was between 1941 and 45, or yep. Did they start building them before?
That's
that?
pretty close, yeah.
Now, how many do you think are still flying?
20-ish still actually fly.
Are they all here in the States? Or?
No, they're a couple, I think, in New Zealand, one in France.
Now, what other countries use this?
That I know of, England used them for submarine patrol. I don't know if anybody else used them or not.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you guys bringing your airplane here. I mean, that means a lot to all the Warbird community.
That's an honor for us, too.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks, folks. Appreciate it.